you will, just remain standing and turn to Matthew chapter 21. Matthew chapter 21. Amen. I said I love that old song. I'm glad we got a foundation to stand on. And we've got a heritage. We've got a heritage in our nation. We've got a heritage in our church. Many of us have a heritage in our family. And we need to uphold that heritage and pray for that heritage. Amen. For God to bless and use it. By the way, while you're turning, a couple of things. Preacher's Fellowship is tomorrow at Sugar Grove Baptist. So pray for that, that God would bless in that. And then pray for my dad. I mentioned Wednesday that they're on their way. They came in on Thursday, spent the night with us Thursday night, left out Friday around lunchtime to go on to Kansas. The first church Dad started over 35 years ago in Washington, Kansas, is without a pastor again. They've dwindled down in numbers, and they're almost ready to shut the doors. They've got 5 members, and only one of them is a man. They're all senior citizens. It's an economically depressed town. There's no jobs in the town. There's pretty well nothing there, and the church is dwindling. And I pray for that. Dad's trying to rescue that church. I believe that church is the only King James Bible preaching church of any kind in the whole county. Dad said, as far as he knows, to find another, I'm not saying how good this is, but how to find another King James Bible preaching church, if you go west, it's over 70 miles. If you go south, it's at least 70 miles. If you go east, it's 120 miles to the next church of any kind using a King James Bible. That's sad. That's in America. And pray they'll be able to keep those doors open if it be the will of God. Churches are like bodies, but the Bible talks about it. The church is a body, and these bodies die. They're born and they die. Churches do that. They do that. Matter of fact, the 7 churches of Asia, they're all dead. There ain't none of them alive today. They're all gone. And so if a church is a body, it's just like our body. It's not going to live forever. Only hope for it is to reproduce. And so that's why churches need to start churches. Amen. And so pray for that church there. If it be God's will, Dad's going in there to talk with them and try to help get some things settled. It's not that they have a lack of finances. They're not wealthy, but they said they don't have an issue with finances. It's just they don't have people. The people that are there are not firm enough, and they're discouraged. As a matter of fact, they're pretty discouraged as well. And so pray for them through all this, that the Lord would help with those things. All right. Amen. It's struggled. The church has struggled. The pastor after my dad, the next pastor, his wife ran off with a man, and then later came back and ran off with a police officer in town. And so it made a bad name for the church in town. And they've had a lot to overcome through the years. And some of us older ones knew the couple that went there and took the church from my dad and then wound up splitting up and causing all kinds of havoc and stuff. So I'm just in prayer for that group, that God would help them if it be his will. Amen. All right, Matthew 21, and I'm going to start reading verse number 1 and read down through verse number 17. Matthew chapter number 21 and verse 1. Verse 17 actually starts a new paragraph according to the markings in the Bible, but I'm going to use verse 17 as well in our text, so we'll start read it responsibly, 1 through 17. The Bible said, and when they drew nigh unto Jerusalem and were come to Bethphage, unto the Mount of Olives, then sent Jesus 2 disciples, saying unto them, go into the village over against you, and straightway ye shall find an ass tied and a colt with her, loose them, and bring them unto me. And if any man say aught unto you, ye shall say, the Lord hath need of them, and straightway he will send them. And all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, tell ye the daughter of Zion, behold, the king cometh unto thee, meek, and sitting upon an ass, and a colt, the foal of an ass. And the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them, and brought the ass and the colt, and put on them their clothes, and set him thereon. And a very great multitude spread their garments in the way. Others cut down branches from the trees and strawed them in the way. And the multitudes that went before and that followed cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And when he was come unto Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, Who is this? And the multitude said, This is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee. And Jesus went into the temple of God and cast out all them that sold and bought in the temple and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves and said unto them, It is written, My house shall be called the house of prayer. But ye have made it a den of thieves. And the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. And when the chief priests and scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying in the temple and saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, they were sore displeased, and said unto him, Hearest thou what these say? And Jesus said unto them, Yea, have ye never read, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, thou hast perfected praise. And he left them and went out to the city of Bethany, and he lodged there. I'm stopping with verse 17. This text that we're looking at is dealing with the last week of our Lord's life. He's getting ready to go to Calvary. And I say our Lord's life, he lives forever. You understand that. But I'm talking about his life on earth in the human body. And before going to Calvary, this is the week that he had before going to Calvary. So Jesus rode into town. There were people that were praising him. He went in and cleaned up the house of God out. And then there were some people who had some questions, and I'm going to be looking at that. I want to focus on verse number 16, that last phrase. Jesus said, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, thou hast perfected praise. I want to look at those last two words. I want to preach on perfecting praise. Perfecting praise. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Brother Jacob, would you lead us in prayer, please? Amen. Amen. Thank you for standing. You can be seated. I do appreciate that prayer. Well, as I said, Jesus comes riding into town. The people's praising him in verse number 7-9. Then he went in and cleansed the temple and cast out the money changers in the house of God, verses 12-13. Then Jesus healed some lame and blind men. Amen. Verse number 14, and the blind and the lame came to him in the temple. I don't know how many there were. It doesn't say a blind and a lame. It says the blind. I mean, it looks to me like all of them. Everybody that was willing to come came and got healed. Whether they was blind or whether they was lame, all those that came to him, he healed them. Didn't lack power to heal any of them. He had the ability to. But then the chief priests and the scribes got bent out of shape. They got upset when they saw all the wonderful things that he did in verse number 15. And the children crying in the temple saying, Hosanna unto the Son of David. Thou, and he says they were sore displeased. I love how descriptive our King James Bible is. These people were not just upset. They were so upset that it hurt them. Made them sore. It was like a sore that bothered them. It hurt them because they were so displeased. Now, let this sink in a little bit. It didn't seem to bother them that the money changers were in there selling doves and other animals and making mockery of the house of God. It didn't seem to bother them that they were in there turning the house of God into a den of thieves. But what bothered them was that some people was getting help. And some children were praising the Lord. Amen. That's one of the reasons why I wanted to have the youth choir sing tonight. I think God wants children to praise him. I think he wants us to praise him. Amen. And we ought to be praising him. Amen. But I want you to notice, I'm going to deal primarily with verse number 16 and what our Lord said about perfected praise. But first, I want to just momentarily look at verse 17 and make a point about that final verse that we read. It said, and he left them. I think that's more... That is more, it says more than we realize. That is a powerful statement. He came, offered himself to them. They didn't like it, so he left. You remember Brother Ronnie Jones preached a sermon here years ago in one of our meetings. I don't remember. I think it was a revival meeting. And he preached on God will leave you alone if you want him to. He'll leave you alone if you want him to. That's serious business right there. Amen. But he left and he went to another city. He went to the city of Bethany. And I think that's more important than we really realize that it is. I don't want Jesus to leave our church. Amen. I don't want Jesus to leave our community, our city. I certainly don't want Jesus to leave our nation. Amen. I don't want to offend Jesus to the point that he leaves. That's what happened here. Matter of fact, I want to welcome him. I want to praise him. I want to worship him. I want to glorify him. Amen. So looking at the text, I'm talking about perfecting praise. I've got three primary points that I want to bring out. Number one, I call it the problem pointed out. The problem pointed out in verse number 15. And when the chief priests and scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying in the temple saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, they were sore displeased. So we see actually two things that caused these people this sore displeasure, that caused them their feelings to be hurt, their anger to be aroused, was two things. First of all, A, they saw the wonderful things that he did. Can you believe that? They saw the wonderful things that he did, and it upset them. By the way, the disciples didn't say, well, the things he's doing are wonderful things. It was the Holy Ghost that said, in the inspiration of the scripture, that it was wonderful things that he did, and those people got upset at the wonderful thing. What God thought was wonderful, they thought was bad. What the Holy Ghost said was wonderful, think about Brother Herbert Williams. Wonderful, amen. What the Holy Ghost said was wonderful, they thought was bad. It bothered them. It bothered them. It troubled them. And now here's what I think about this. I think it troubled them that Jesus was working differently than the norm. They had got used to things going their way. They had gotten comfortable in the way things had gone up to that point, and they really didn't want Jesus butting in. Amen. I pray, listen, and I write it in almost every bulletin, but I pray every service, Lord, we want you to meet with us. We want you to manifest your presence among us. By the way, if he did, it would upset the norm. And it would upset the people that like the norm. Amen. And so they got familiar with the way things were done in the temple. They didn't like Jesus butting in and changing things. I think this is also applied in that. They were used to being top dog. They didn't want the Lord. Hey, this is the Lord's house. But they didn't want the Lord to run it. They wanted to run it. I mean, what right has the Lord to say? You ought to go past 12 today. What right does he have? What's his house, isn't it? Matter of fact, it's his day, isn't it? We're his people, the sheep of his pasture, aren't we? So he has a right to say what goes on. Amen. Now, be honest with you, a lot of times I love a schedule. I love to be, you know, plan and have plans to run on, and I'll adjust in a moment's notice sometimes about that, but I do like the norm, but I'm glad God every once in a while can upset the norm, and he has the right to do it. Amen. Amen. He has absolutely every right. So they were used to being top dog at the temple. They didn't like Jesus taking charge, and so they got upset about it. They ask in another one of the accounts that tells of him cleansing the temple. John tells about it twice, and in one of those accounts they ask who gave him that authority. I mean, they're asking the authority. Who gave him that authority? Yeah. That's like a little boy saying to daddy, who made you boss? Well, listen, daddy made you. That's why daddy's boss. Yeah. Mama made you. That's why mama's boss. Well, yeah. God made us. That's why he's boss, and he has a right to be boss. Amen. But I thought about this also. I'm thinking about, you know, they saw the wonderful things, but it bothered them. Here's one thing I think that bothered them. This is just another note still under A. His diligence revealed their negligence. The fact that the zeal of the house of God had eaten him up showed the fact that they didn't have any zeal for the house of God. His concern over the fakery that was going on at the house of God and the phony that was going on at the house of God and the just pure out baloney that was going on at the house of God. Jesus changed all that. He upset the tables and he upset the chair. I wonder where them people were sitting. He said that those that sit at the money, he upset the chair. I think he threw them out of them. Amen. I think when he picked up the chair and the scribe and all and threw them out. Amen. Amen. But it upset them. Why? Because they hadn't had that zeal. And his diligence revealed their negligence. And that happens a lot of times in church, by the way. Somebody gets on fire, all of a sudden all the wet blankets start feeling bad. I heard an old preacher say this years ago, and I think he's probably right. He said, in most Baptist churches, you don't have to worry about wildfire or strange fire. He said, there's enough wet blankets sitting around. They'll put it out. It won't get out of hand. Lord, help us. Amen. I'm looking at this text. Why did Jesus go in there and throw the money changers out? Here's why. Jesus wanted purity in his house. He wanted sincerity in his house. But they wanted business as usual. Yeah. Jesus wanted the focus to be on him. They wanted the focus to be on them. I think that's right. So they got upset when they saw the wonderful things that he did. B, in this, the problem pointed out, they saw the children praising God. I read the verse again. When the chief priests and scribes saw the wonderful things that he did and the children crying in the temple saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, they were sore displeased. Now, if these kids had been hollering at a ball game, it wouldn't have bothered them. But for them to be excited about Jesus bothered them terribly. Oh, yeah. By the way, all the Pharisees ain't dead yet. Amen. All the scribes and the chief priests ain't dead. There's still some around us, some in the world today. Amen. That they don't, you know, they don't mind if a child wants to, if a child wants to have a role model, let's say Taylor Swift or Madonna or Britney Spears. And I know I'm showing my age when I talk about Madonna. But some star, or let's go to the boy. Maybe Michael Jackson is their macho hero. Or Michael Jordan. They got a man for their hero. That don't bother them. Or a woman for their hero. That don't bother them. But when it's Jesus, oh, they're getting to be fanatic. I'm afraid they're going to go off the deep end. Yeah. They saw the children praising God and they didn't like it. Amen. Here's what I noticed. These adults weren't praising him and they didn't want the children praising him. Now, there were some adults that did. The Bible talks about it. They cast away. The disciples did that too. Cast their clothes in the way and made the way. And then they was hollering, Hosanna. But when these people that wasn't doing that saw the children doing that, they got upset about it. They got so angry that they questioned our Lord about it. Look at verse 16. And they said unto him, hearest thou what these say? I wrote in my Bible. They said to Jesus, can you hear? Can you hear? Here's what Jesus answered them. Can you read? Yeah, they said, can you hear what they're doing? He said, have you never read? Amen. Have you never read? Here's what he said. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings thou hast perfected praise. That's a quote from Psalm 8, verse 2. And there's a little bit of change there. In the Psalm, it says to have perfected strength. And Jesus called it perfected praise. By the way, because the joy of the Lord is your strength, is our strength. Amen. And so it's in there. But my point is this. Jesus said to them, they said to him first, and they had the audacity, have you heard what these children are saying? Of course he'd heard it. But it didn't bother him. Matter of fact, he was used to things flying around and saying, holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty. Amen. He was used to the angels and the cherubim and the seraphim praising him day and night. And it didn't bother him that these children were praising him. Of course Jesus heard the children. but he is accustomed to it. Amen. Amen. These people, the praise didn't bother Jesus, but it bothered them. By the way, here's why. Because he understood he was worthy of their praise. They didn't understand that. They didn't see the children as worthy of praising, and they didn't see him as worthy of being praised. Now, let me just take a moment right here and say this. I've heard it said. I've heard people in the past say, well, I don't think children ought to praise God because children aren't really worthy to praise God. Who among us is? Well, they don't know. I guarantee they don't know. And how much of us don't know? I mean, God's so great and so mighty and so big and so far beyond us. How can we say that we've got our arms wrapped around all of it? You don't have to have your arms wrapped around all of it. You just have to believe him, trust him, and praise him. Amen. 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 And Jesus didn't fuss about these children praising him. Amen. He said it was right. Amen. He pointed out to these religious complainers. He pointed them to the Bible. Said, have you never read, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings thou hast perfected praise? By the way, did you know if people would just read their Bible, the Bible will answer a lot of the problems people have that come up. Amen. Amen. Number two, there's not only the problem pointed out, but there's the perfecting of praise mentioned there in verse 16, the last part. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, thou hast perfected praise. I looked that word perfected up at Strong's number 2675. Strong says it means, quote, to complete thoroughly, that is to repair, literally or figuratively, to adjust. Perfect it. You got your radio, and a lot of them don't have dials, but I still like radios with the dials because you can move that easier than you can with that search thing. It just goes everywhere. You know what you can do? You can perfect that signal. You can adjust it to get it right where you want it. That's what he's talking about perfecting praise. You can get it right where it needs to be. I looked it up in Thayer's concordance. Thayer says it means, quote, to render. That is to fit, to be sound and complete, to mend what has been broken or rent, and to repair. To complete, to fit out, equip, put in order, arrange, or adjust. So it just simply, I see all that goes together. It looks like Jesus is saying to these religious officials that there was some work needed to be done on praise. The praise needed to be adjusted. Amen. The praise needed to be adjusted. One thing I like about children, matter of fact, let me just say this. I'm excited that we got some young people getting excited about singing in the youth choir. Amen. Amen. I'm excited that we got some young people, and not just some people, excited about learning memory verses. Amen. That's exciting. But one of the things about children, when they do that, they don't know all the words, but the words they do know, they're going to let you know they know them. You know what they do? They adjust the volume. And in praising God, that's one of the adjustments that needs to be made. Amen. Amen. Well, here's what we do. If we're not careful, we're sitting in our pew and somebody says something about how good God is and we say, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We need to adjust the volume.
Amen.
Amen. That's what children will do. And that's what Jesus said. I mean, these people heard it. They heard it over the people. They heard it over what was the throwing out of the money changers. These scribes and Pharisees heard the volume from these young people. Jesus said there were some things needed to be adjusted.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. These children were vocally praising Jesus. They were publicly praising Jesus. They were sincerely praising Jesus. And Jesus said, that's perfecting it. That's getting it adjusted. That's getting it repaired. In other words, it's as if he said this. Jesus said, you know, about the religious worship, there were some things about praise that had gotten messed up. And these kids are fixing it. That's what he's saying. We get messed up about that. Amen. Again. I'm not saying we need to be worldly, but we got enough carnality about us that Here it is. Why is it okay for a fellow that's listening to brain rock, rock and roll can crank it up, but we got to be ashamed and tone it down when we're at the stoplight? Yeah. Not rock music. I hope you're not listening to rock music. You understand? I'm talking about WSOF. Amen. Amen. And some of that's close enough to rock. It's enough. All right. Not going any closer. Amen. Amen. I'm saying, why is it we have to tone it down and we have to be quiet when they can be so vocal? By the way, Jesus deserves to be praised publicly. Amen. There's things they're doing that is a shame to even be spoken about privately, but they're doing it in public. They're not ashamed of it. But you know what they say about religious worship? Keep it in the four walls of the church. Let's keep it quiet. Let's keep it toned down. Jesus said these young people are perfecting praise. And then my third point is this. There's the principle of praise. I'm going to move from Matthew 21. Go to Luke chapter number 19. It's the same account. Luke's writing about the same account. Luke chapter number 19. Look at verse 40 is what I'll really be jumping on, but we'll look back at some of it. Luke 19:40. This is one of the most famous verses we know about this. And he answered, Jesus answered and said to them, I tell you that if these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out. Wow. Jesus was saying here, if these children were to tone this down, even the stones in the walls of the building would cry out and praise me. In other words, what he's saying was, everything knows I deserve that praise. Amen. That's really what he was saying. Now, this is a parallel account. You can look back at verse number 35. You can see it, 35 through 49. That they brought that colt. They cast their garments there. Jesus came along. They spread them in the way. And then they began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works they had seen, saying, blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. And some of the Pharisees from among the multitude said unto him, Master, rebuke thy disciples. And here's the only change. There's a little bit of change in this. It's the same account. But here, one person notices, this is the notice, and the Holy Ghost used that, by the way, that they noticed that they didn't just say to Jesus to quiet them down, but they said to the disciples. They said Jesus to quiet down the disciples. Not children, disciples. They wasn't just upset that the children were shouting. They was upset that the people were shouting. Oh, yeah. But also notice that in this case, it's the Pharisees. He didn't mention Pharisees in Matthew's account. He mentioned scribes and chief priests. But my point is this, is that these people that were supposed to be religious are now complaining. They got upset because Jesus is receiving praise. And I want you to notice, Jesus did not rebuke the children. And Jesus did not rebuke the disciples. Matter of fact, he rebuked the crowd that said, tone it down. He said, these children ought to be praising me. God has perfected praise by these children praising me. I'm paraphrasing, of course. But he said, these people need to be praising me. If they didn't, the rocks themselves would cry out in praise to me. Jesus did not rebuke those that were praising him. Now, let's look at some Psalms. Turn with me to Psalm, and I could run all day on this and go way past 12. I could go all day on this about praise through the book of Psalms. I'm not going to, but I'm going to look at several verses and just get some idea about the principle of praise. Psalm 100, we know it. I'm sure you know it very well. Most of us got it memorized. Psalm 100. I'll give you time to get there. Psalm 100. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates. Excuse me. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name For the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generations. Amen, amen, amen. Now it looks to me like God, hang on, I'm getting this congestion. It looks to me like God wants noise in His house. Oh, but preacher, I like it quiet. Yeah, when you sleep, you like it quiet. If you're alive, there ought to be some noise. And some people, when they go to sleep, they make noise. I know that. We hear that once in a while. But he said, make noise. Matter of fact, he said, when you make noise, make it joyfully. Amen. Don't be ashamed of making noise for Jesus, is what he's saying. I believe that's exactly right. He wants noise in his house. He wants it to be a joyful noise, noise of praising him. Now, verse 2 specifies that we ought to have gladness and we ought to have singing. Amen. Verse 4 specifies thanksgiving and praise and thankful. And he uses this phrase, bless his name. Amen. I want to ask you a question. How can we be a blessing to God? He's a blessing to us. He blesses us every day. He blesses us all the time. How can we bless Him? With the fruit of our lips. Even praise unto His name. Praising Him. Singing to Him. Making some noise about Him. I believe that blesses Him. Matter of fact, verse number 5 tells us that God is good. And by the way, we could put the word so with a bunch of O's in there. God is so good. We ought to be rejoicing much more than we are. Amen. Amen. We ought to be singing to Him much more than we are. Matter of fact, why haven't we gotten carried away with it already? Amen. Amen. Really, when you think about how good God is, we ought to get carried away praising Jesus. Just maybe the next page over on my Bible, it is Psalm 103, verses 1 and 2. Bless the Lord. Who's supposed to do that? Oh, my soul. How much? And all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. And then it goes on mentioning benefit after benefit after benefit. Look at the end of the chapter, verses 20, 21, and 22. All three start with the phrase, bless ye the Lord, or bless the Lord. Bless the Lord, ye His angels that excel in strength, that do His commandments, hearkening unto the voice of His word. Bless ye the Lord, all ye His hosts, ye ministers of His that do His pleasure. Bless the Lord, all His works in all places of His dominion. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. So he started off saying, I need to bless Him. Then he said, you need to bless Him. Then he said, we all need to bless Him. And then when it's all said and done, I need to bless Him again. Amen. Amen. Again, I say, how can we bless the Lord? Well, I believe by singing to Him, by testifying about Him. Amen. By bragging on His goodness and praising His name. Rejoicing in His presence. Amen. The lady that visited with us some in the Bible conference. One thing that blessed me was how she'd get blessed all of a sudden. It's just something that was said. Amen. And I wonder, how come we don't have that? Maybe part of it's because we don't have that childlike faith. That childlike reverence of the Most High God. Amen. Amen. Well, we're to do all this praising, singing, testifying, shouting. We're to do all this with all that is within us. Amen. Turn over another page, 106, Psalm 106. Again, I'll look at the first and last verse. Psalm 106. Praise ye the Lord. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever. Verse 48. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel from everlasting to everlasting. And let all the people say, Amen. Praise ye the Lord. Amen. So here's what he said. Let all the people say what? Amen. That's what he said. Let all the people say, Amen. And I believe he said, let all the people say, praise the Lord. Right? Let's practice that. Let all the people say, Amen. Not amen. Amen. And let all the people say, praise the Lord. Amen. You know what that'll do? That'll wake you up. You won't sleep through Sunday school and preaching. If somebody, as a matter of fact, if all of us would rejoice in the Lord. That's perfecting praise. That's adjusting the volume. That's a tuning it in. Right.
Amen.
Amen. You say, well, preacher, you ought not have to cheerlead us. You're exactly right. Amen.
Amen.
I told the story before that I've only been to one high school football game in my life. Melissa and I were on a date. That's before we knew it was wrong to date. We were on a date. And the couple that we had double dated with this couple once before, they were the ones that set us up and or introduced us to each other. And so they were at a ball game at the school she went to, North High. And North High was playing West High, which was the school I went to. So it was adversaries for one night. And that was just the start of a wonderful marriage, 40 years now. But seriously, so Melissa and I went to town, came back and picked them up. We got there right, I don't remember if it went into overtime. I sort of think it had gone into overtime. Anyway, we're there. Me and John Burke was the, and he's passed away now. John Burke was the boy that introduced me to Melissa. He was from West. I was from West. But we're sitting on the north side. Melissa was from north and Tammy was from north, her friend. And so anyway, we go and we find them. We get up there on the thing. And right at the last minute, Wes kicked a field goal. One, it was tied till Wes kicked that field goal. Did you know I did not have to wait for the cheerleaders for me to get excited? I didn't say, well, there ain't nobody else on this side excited. No, I was excited because I was on the winning side. Right? I didn't have to wait on nobody else for me to get excited. And by the way, I wasn't ashamed to say, woo! Over a stupid ball game that I hadn't watched but just the last few seconds of. But all of a sudden, because we won, I was excited about it. But how about going to church? How about knowing something about Jesus? I know a whole lot more about him than I did that ball game. I ought to have a whole lot more allegiance to him than I do a ball team. Oh, yeah. Why should we have to wait for somebody to get it cranked up when we ought to be rejoicing in the Lord? In other words, here's my point, and listen, I'm guilty, we're all guilty. I'm just saying we need to work on this thing. Jesus said, perfect in praise. Get it adjusted right.
Amen.
Get things tuned in there like they're supposed to be. All right. Let me do one more. Psalm 135. I could do a bunch of these. Matter of fact, you probably know that the last, I think it's the last five chapters of Psalm, maybe the last six of them, starts with the word praise ye the Lord and ends with the phrase praise ye the Lord. Every one of those do. Start and end with praise ye the Lord. Look at Psalm 135 and verse number 1-3. I'll just read them. I could read it all, but 1-3. Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Praise him, O ye servants of the Lord. Ye that stand in the house of the Lord, in the courts of the house of our God, praise the Lord, for the Lord is good. Sing praises unto his name, for it is pleasant. Amen. By the way, isn't it pleasant to see somebody praise the Lord? Isn't it pleasant when you're the one praising the Lord? But he's not talking about their pleasure or our pleasure. He's talking about his pleasure. It pleases him. Amen. It pleases him when we praise the Lord. I said I was going to start. Let me do one more. Go to Psalm 34. I'll conclude with this. I'll end it. I really believe that every person who has breath in their lungs ought to be praising God. The Bible tells us that. Let everything that hath breath. Amen. I can't prove it, but I believe there's times when the dog is wagging his tail giving praise to God. I believe there's times when the birds are singing giving praise unto God. Oh yeah. I believe there's times when the trees are moving, the leaves are moving, and the limbs are moving giving praise to God. The Bible talks about some of that. Then how come is it we sit like a stump on a log? By the way, trees wasn't saved, birds ain't saved, and dogs ain't saved. But we've been saved by the good grace of God. Amen. I believe we're way behind on their praise debt. We need to start doubling up on payments. Amen. We ain't ever going to get caught up. Amen. So our text that I'm going to go to Psalm 34 in a minute, but the text that we've been looking at, Matthew 21, speaks specifically about young people praising Jesus. I don't think he only wants it from young people. But I think this, I know we got to be careful of this. I don't want it to become a game, nor do I want it to become a competition. Amen. I want it to be real. I want it to be sincere. I want it to be heartfelt. Amen. In other words, I think we got to teach them to do it right. But you know what we're guilty of? We're guilty of not teaching them at all. Young people grow up today thinking that ball teams deserve shouting, that movie stars deserve shouting. Amen. That politicians deserve shouting, but not Jesus. How do they come up with that? Because they watch the world shout at all them. Even us sometimes. Amen. But who is going to praise the Lord? Jesus said, I ain't telling them to turn it down. I ain't telling them to turn it off. If they turned it off, even these stones would cry out. Amen. Amen. I think we'll teach children to praise God joyfully. Amen. We ought to teach them to get loud for Jesus. Not be ashamed of it. By the way, and if they embarrass you at Walmart, praise God for it, because Jesus deserves to be praised in Walmart. We're just too stiff to do it. Amen. We're just too bashful. We're just too ashamed to do it. But he deserves it. They call it the saving place. No, he's the saving person. He deserves to be praised. Amen. That's right. All right. Well, let me get, I'm trying to end. I'm in my conclusion. Well, yeah, let me read it. Let me just read it. Psalm 34. All right. I'm going to read from verse 1 down through 11. That's me personally, will bless the Lord at all times. And he didn't, by the way, people say, well, I don't think I don't think y'all to make an appointment and say, now I'm going to shout come Sunday. David said, I'm going to shout Sunday, and I'm going to shout Monday, and I'm going to shout Tuesday. Yeah. He said, I'm going to praise him at all times, or I'll bless him at all times. Not blessing, not necessarily praise. I understand that's heart, the worship, but the worship brings the praise forth. Amen. Brother Pelkey preached yesterday. He pastors up in Sellersburg, Indiana. He preached yesterday at that fellowship. He was right after me, I think, right? And he said this. He said, worship is the root and service is the fruit. I think that's right. I think you could also say worship is the root down in your heart and praise is the fruit that comes out of your lips from a heart of worship. Amen. Yeah, let me read it. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise, now he went from worship to praise, now shall continually be in my mouth. Amen. Right back to that, Joshua 1:8. Yep. Let not this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. Hey, he said, I'm going to keep the book in my mouth. I'm going to keep praise in my mouth. Verse 2, my soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. By the way, how is the humble going to hear what your soul says? Because it's going to come out your lips. Now look at verse 3. This is a rallying cry. Oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. Amen. Brother Don Anderson used to use this verse and he would be talking about praise and this is what he'd say about it. He'd say, if I was going to move this piano and I started to come over here to pick it up, somebody'd say, whoa, 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 wait a minute, preacher, let me help you. Now, some of you wouldn't, but some of you would. Because you'd say, well, that's too big of a job for one man. Let's get three or four around and then we can move it. That's what the psalmist is saying. He's saying, magnifying God is too big of a job for just one person to do it. He said, I need some of you to come on and help me. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt His name together. Verse 4 is why. I sought the Lord. Hallelujah. He heard me. Amen. And delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto Him and were lightened. Their eyes or their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. And there we can say amen and praise the Lord right there, can't we? Amen. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear Him and delivereth him. Oh, ain't that wonderful? Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in Him. Oh, fear the Lord, ye His saints, for there is no want to them that fear Him. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger. They that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Come, ye children, hearken unto the Lord, hearken unto me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Here, there's perfecting praise. The psalmist said, I'm going to praise Him. The psalmist said, I need help praising Him. The psalmist said, I cried and He heard. They looked and He heard. He helped. Then this poor man cried. The Lord heard him, saved him out of all of his troubles. And he said, come on, children, come on. I want you to praise Him with me, and I'll teach you the fear of the Lord. Amen. Used to have shouting grandmas in the past. I've said something about that before. My grandmother, my dad's mama, was a shouter. She died with Jesus on her lips. She wasn't shouting. She was very weak. But she said, Jesus. Lift out her arms like that. Jesus. But they're getting extinct. And we're not passing it down. And I'm done, but I'll just meddle a minute. Today, grandmas don't want to be grandmas. They want to be senior teenagers. Yeah. They don't want to be an old fogey that worships Jesus. Can I tell you, even teenagers ought to be worshiping Jesus. It ain't just for the old folks. But we failed to pass it down. We failed to hand that thing down to others. Amen. So what are we supposed to do? Here's what Jesus said. Have you never heard that out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, thou, God, hath perfected praise? And I believe the psalmist tells us the way we can perfect that is if we will teach these young people to praise God. Amen. Nothing better than giving praise to Jesus. Nothing better than singing praise to Him. Amen. Amen. Brother Bob Carrico preached yesterday. He's the last preacher that preached over there. And he just had a little bit of time and he preached a good message out of the book of Daniel. And he told a little bit about his testimony. And he started playing piano in the bars when he was 12 years old. He had to have a note from his mama. And his mama wrote him a note, if you can believe that, to let him play in the bars. And he said, I believe he's 17 years old. He started courting Miss Lou, which was his first wife. She's dead now. And anyway, long story short, she invited him to church. Every once in a while he'd go. He said, I was not interested in Christianity. He said, I was headed to Nashville. That's what was on his mind. But he said, somewhere in that, the Holy Ghost had a different opinion. And the Holy Ghost got to dealing with me. And he said, I can't tell you exactly what the preacher said, but he said, I know God got a hold of my heart and I had to repent of my sin and turn to Christ. Amen. And he said, all that aspiration of being in the band and being at Nashville went away in an instant. Amen. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying we need to teach these young people. God gave you a voice not to sing for Hollywood or to sing for Nashville. He gave you a voice to sing for Jesus. By the way, Mom and Daddy, that's what He gave you a voice for too. Let's stand to our feet. Perfect in praise. We need to work on it. don't we? We need to work on it. That's what perfecting, fixing it, repairing it, adjusting it. We need to work on it. Heavenly Father, thank you for the word of the Lord, the truth of God's word. Father, I pray that you would help as we, me and these thy people, we've heard, Lord, help us not to be hearers only. Help us to put it into practice in our life and give you praise. We're probably not at the point that we're ready to continually praise you. We need to start praising you. We need to at least every now and then praise you. But you're worthy of it all the time. Father, I pray you'd help us to adjust it. I pray you'd help us to repair it. Pray you'd help us to fix it. And Lord, for those that are not saved, I pray you'd draw them to Christ before it's too late. And let them see what a wonderful thing it is to be saved by the good grace of God. We'll thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Amen.